Amen. I do thank God for grace. Amen. Amen. And I praise the Lord for it. 1 Kings chapter 17. Let's find that place. Let's stand together. I told them in the prayer room, if you was here for Sunday school, you already got 3/4 of this message, and I'm just going to review for the most part. 1 Kings chapter 17, you find that place, you're able. Let's stand together. We give reverence to reading of the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 17, I thank God for it. I do thank God for grace. I thank God for grace on our family. And thank God for grace on our church. I'm glad for the grace of God that shines down on sinners. Amen. And I'm glad for, before I ever could define it, if you can define it, I'm not sure you can. But well before I ever learned what a definition of grace was, I'd been experiencing it about my whole life. Amen. I mean, you get to thinking about that. Before you ever even heard what the term was, I've heard a lot of folks try to define grace. And boy, some of them use that little acrostic and they'll say, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's pretty good. I like that. God's unmerited favor. I like that too. But I'm going to tell you, they ain't any of that. Really encompasses all that the grace of God has been on our lives. Amen. I praise God for it. 1 Kings chapter 17. I'll read just a few verses of scripture and I'll try to preach what the Lord's laid on their heart. Verse number 8, very familiar. He said, then the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of the sticks. And he called to her and he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks and I may go in and dress it for me and for my son that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus said the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Heavenly Father, we bear head before you one more time, and to God I pray for a few moments of time, and Lord that you'd help us to preach with unction. I pray under a burden, God, we pray, Lord, I'd ask you, God, that you'd give us a good help from the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray there's not a place I'd rather be, God, on this side of eternity, and to be sitting with God's people in God's house around God's word. I pray, Father, today may the word of God, Lord, do just what you said. May it not return to it void. I pray, Lord, these folks no doubt here, and Lord, that they're standing in need of encouragement. And I pray that God, you'd grant them that. I pray, Lord, that you'd comfort the afflicted. And I pray that you'd afflict the comfortable. I'd ask you, God, that you'd help us above all things. And Lord, that Christ might be magnified. Oh, God, you know who I am. And God, you remember my frame that I am but dust. And God, you're very much aware of the fact that I am frail and fallible. But, oh, God, you are neither. And so, Lord, we're leaning on you, asking you for help and to trust in you'll provide it one more time. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. No doubt everybody here is very familiar. 1 Kings chapter 17, that's a great time of apostasy. And Ahab has married that godless woman Jezebel. And thank God, listen, friend, heading off into idol worship, shipwrecking the whole nation of Israel. And right in the middle of that comes a man of God right on the scene. afraid. Elijah the Tishbite. We don't know where he came from. Don't know where he was at. All I know is when he showed up, God's hand was on it, and he had a message. Hey, you remember that the message was, and it will not rain except for by his word. And as soon as he said it, God said these words. He said, you get thee down. Let's just look at it. And verse number 3, he said, get thee hence, turn eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, and is before Jordan. He said, it shall be thou shalt by drink of the brook, and I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so I got to notice it, that God had commanded some ravens to take care of it. But then we come to the next story, and right after the brook dries up, Elijah is sent to this lady, this little woman in Zarephath, and the Bible said belonged to Zidon. I got to thinking about this scripture, and when we pick up and we see this lady, this little widow woman down in Zarephath, things ain't looking so well in her life. As a matter of fact, when we find her, things is very, very bleak, right on the horizon of where she is. But I want to remind you of this. I got to think about this just today, Brother Bill. I mean, this whole week I've been studying for the message. You know, I don't know how many times that I've read this passage of story, but there's never been one time I've been worried about that lady. Not one time. It's never been a time I've opened up this passage and I've seen that little woman over there and all she had left was 2 sticks and just a handful. It's never been a time, Brother Jones. And when I was reading that story, I thought, oh no, I don't know what's going to happen here. I know, see, every time I've ever heard it, every time I've ever read it, I already know how it ends. Amen. And so thank God, because I can see what God's doing over here. I ain't worried about what's happening right there. Amen. I started thinking about this. Listen, hey, here's the point I'm trying to make, Brother Mike. And so when we're reading this story, and we have a heavenly point of view, and we don't read it as men are reading it, and we don't see this story as you and I see the story. But when I'm reading this passage, I've got the perspective of God in mind. And so I see what's happening in the end. And well, before I see what's happening in the beginning, I want to say this to you. Thank God. If she could only see what we see, and she wouldn't be worried about it either. Amen. And now somebody help me right there. I mean, if she could only see what we're seeing, and she wouldn't be worried about it either. I got thinking about this. I'll try to preach you the message just a minute. But no doubt where she's standing, I mean, everybody around her, it looks bad. And she thinks it looks bad. But every time I read it, I think, hey, man, you just wait until God does something right on the horizon for you. I just can't wait hardly until she gets there. Amen. And now, wouldn't it be something if God done that for everybody in this room? I mean, wouldn't you like it, thank God, if the God of heaven, if the God of glory, had just saw fit just to go ahead and let you know how it ends up in your life? Boy, I wouldn't worry about much, would you? Amen. And everybody help me right here. I wouldn't worry about too much, thank God, if God had let me know what it's going to look like, just like he did in her life. Wouldn't you like that to happen? Amen. Boy, it's almost like we got a Bible. It's almost like God's already done that. It's almost like God's already shown us just how to lead. Amen. So let me read this to you, and then I'll preach the message the best I can. I want you to understand, I don't know if you're here, I mean if you're saved by the good grace of God. The Bible's very clear. The Bible's very plain in how it is. He said in Revelation 21, verse number 1, he said, and I saw heaven, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. He said, and there was no more sea. He said, now John saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Boy, I like his part. He said, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. He said, there shall be no more death, and neither sorrow, and nor crying, and neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne, he said, behold, I make all things new. He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Aren't you glad? Thank God. I already know what it's like, how it ends. Amen. That's why I'm not too worried about where we're at right now. Hey, listen, friend. It might be full of heartaches. It might be full of hardship. How about you can just step back and shout her out, and we know how the story ends. Amen. I want to preach on this salt today. Hey, listen, sometimes it's hard when you hear, but just wait till you get there. Amen. Sometimes it's hard when you hear, but just wait till you get there. I got thinking about this lady, and she's just standing over there, and no doubt, friend, where she's at, and I've overlooked her story so many times, but I want you to understand that she's in a very difficult season in her life. And the Bible said she's a widow woman. I don't think, thank God, she's been widowed for a very long time. And she's got a baby, and she's got a boy that's big enough, and he's still fits inside her bosom. And a little later on, he's going to die. And the boy, that old man of God's going to pick him up and going to carry him just like he's. I believe that she probably had not been widowed for long. Now, that probably don't mean a whole lot in America like it used to. But you understand there was a time. I read in your Bible sometime, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 2. It talks about how widow women are a prey to everybody around them. In other words, you didn't want to be a widow woman. And they was going to take advantage of you. They was going to do what they could to scam you. They was going to make you a prey. But thank God, listen, friend. And then I got reading about this. It said that probably in all likelihood in the Middle East, nobody would have wanted her. And they'd have felt no obligation to raise up a seed since she already had a son. As I read this, one of them fellas, and I like to read behind sometime. And this is what he said, Ty. He said that she really would have had two choices. And she could either went into slavery or she could have went into prostitution. I said that would have been the two choices that she would have had if she was going to continue on to try to live. I thought, man, what a difficult circumstances she is in. I mean, now listen to me, friend. I mean, what a difficult choice she had to make. And standing in that place, having a mouth to feed, having no husband around, as she was not in Jerusalem, as she wasn't a part of the family of God, and she was an old Gentile dog. They didn't have no rules like Israel had to take care of those old widow women. And so here she stands at a difficult time in her life. I thought, not only is it difficult, but it's a diminishing time. And just every single day. And now listen to me, friend. I want to help us today if y'all listen to the Word of God, all right? Every single day, what she had just got less and less and less. I mean, to start off that famine, and no doubt her barrel was full, and no doubt that cruise was full, but every day there was more coming out, and there was not nothing else going in. I thought, boy, listen, how many folks I'm around today, how we are living in a hopeless time in our nation, in America, in the churches, and by and large, you just watch them, and just day after day after day, I see person after person, that seem like give up a little more hope as they diminish on down just a little further and further and further. But oh, listen, I know it's difficult where she's at, and I know it's diminishing where she's at. But boy, just a few more steps. I mean, just right around the next bend, just over the next mountaintop, she's going to come in contact with the God of all glory if she'll just keep on going on. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, friend, just wait till you get there. Amen. Just wait till you get there. I thought about what a desperate time it was in her life. I mean, listen, she's got a boy that's about to die. She ain't got nothing else left. She's down to two sticks, a handful, and just a little bit. And now listen, Brother Doug, we can sit here and we can shout her out all day, and because we know what's happening. But when she was living in that moment, she didn't know what was going to happen the next. Amen. I mean, Lester, she had no idea what God was going to do right around the next bend. I didn't have no idea that Elijah was coming that way. I got thinking about this. Y'all help me right here. And to stay tuned in. You remember that it was God that commanded the widow woman. He said, I commanded her to sustain thee. But then whenever Elijah gets there, she don't act like she knows nothing about it. I mean, when she gets there, you read the story. It's like it's a surprise to her. It's a surprise to everybody around her. Hey, you say, brother, what happened? I'll tell you what I think. Amen. Now listen, you just take that for what it is. But I'll propose something to you. I'd say that probably when God commanded her that she's going to have to sustain somebody, I'd say she had plenty in the barrel, don't you guess? I'd say she had plenty of crews. I had a whole cruise half chock full of oil. And she thought, send them my way. I've got a full barrel. Hey, I've got a full cruise. God, I'm ready and I'm prepared. Just send him my way. Send him my way. And 1 month turned to 2 months. I turned to 2 years. And now here we are 3 years later. And no doubt, friend, what once was a promise of hope has now a place of desperation. She's only got 2 sticks. I only got a handful of meal. I only got, thank God, just a little bit of oil. And now God sends somebody. And boy, ain't that just like God. Had to wait till you get to the bottom. Had to wait till you get to the place where you ain't got nothing left. Had to say, all right, now, I believe I'll show up. You know why God does that? I thank God so that he can get all the glory in that. It's so good, thank God. And she would have went around bragging about how she sustained it. But thank God now, friend, if there's any sustaining, it'll be God working through her to help him. But God will get all the glory for it. She's in a bad place. You know what I thought? Some of you mamas probably, you ever read this story and you think this old fella shows up. He says, now listen, I know your kid's about to die, but I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to go make me some cakes first. Yeah. How many of y'all mamas would go do that? Yeah, I know. That's what I thought. Yeah, they wasn't none of them. I'll tell you what they'd do. They'd all say, you go jump off a cliff. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to take care of my babies at home. I'm going to take care. Now listen, I'm being honest. She's in her flesh. That stranger shows up out of nowhere. Hey, you're a Gentile. You're not in the house. And you know you're getting ready to die. And all of a sudden this fella shows up. And he said, you need to make me a cake first. And we're in our flesh. Said, there ain't no way I'm helping you. But thank God, listen, friend. In order for her to get there, she was going to have to go through right then. Amen. In order for her to get to where she was going to go and where God was going to help her, she was going to have to be obedient to what God said. Listen to me, friend. You won't never get no help from the Lord unless we come the way God has says to get help. And so if the Lord will help us here, I won't just get to thinking about what happened when she finally got there. Amen. I mean, listen, friend. You understand. And when she finally got there, it had to be a mighty big relief. And when she shows up in that place, and all of a sudden she went from planning a funeral to planning a cruise. Amen. I mean, one day, thank God, she's over here and she's about to die, about to bury herself, about to bury her kid, and now she's got more and she knows what to do with. You say, what's changed? Nothing. She just got where God wanted her to be. You know why some folks just don't never get no help? They're just not willing to get where God wants them to be. They give up on God. They're standing in that place of desperation. And all they see is their desperation. All they see is how things have diminished. All they see is how difficult things are. And my friend, and they've forgotten they've been through those times before. Hey, it's not a person in this room. I mean, listen, you got any age on you at all? And you're standing in a battle today. This ain't the first one you've went through. This ain't the first time you've had to call on God for help. This ain't the first time you got to the end of your rope and you thought, I don't know where God's going to help me from. But then all of a sudden God shows up, and I'm telling you, the first thing I thought about was what a relief it must have been. And whenever she finally does show up, hey friend, listen, one of these fine days we're checking out of here and we're going to that heavenly land, and I'm telling you, when we get there, what a relief, amen, and to find out what we thought was death, it really was life, amen. Aren't you glad for that? What happens when you get there? Well, I'll tell you this, it's going to be a day of relief without any doubt in my mind. I mean, the relief that's going to come when we enter that fair shore, enter those fair heavens. I thought about this. I want you to watch what the Bible says here, and I want you to see it. I thought about what a place of redemption it is. We find this lady, and no doubt you understand. I mean, what a beautiful, wonderful picture. And sometimes in order for God to bless us the most, He's got to get us through the most difficult times in our life. I will tell you this, friend. I want you to listen to me. The same day of her life, depending on what time you ask her, and the same day that started off being the worst day, I ended up being the best day. And you say, hey friend, how does that happen? And the only thing that can do that is the Lord God of heaven. And just show up right in the middle where things are, and He'll turn it from the worst to the best, just like that. That's how God does things. I thought about this. Listen, you know how many folks had to get to a bad day before they ever got to a good day? All throughout the Bible. I'm not going to talk about Joseph too much as Sunday school. Go get Sunday school. Genesis chapter number 45. I thought, you don't listen to me, friend. Can you imagine that from God's perspective looking down on Joseph, just saying, just wait till you get there. Just wait till, how many of us are willing to be here in order to wait till we get there? Oh, Joseph's in that place of a pit, in that place of a prison, in that place of a palace, down, down, down. Hey, darker, darker, darker. And then all of a sudden, God flips the script, amen. All of a sudden, he finally gets to where God wants. I thought, listen, what a blessed privilege that was. You know how many folks got to get to a bad place? I got to get to a worse place before they can ever get to a good place. Hey, some folks don't understand how desperately they need Christ until they get to a place where that's all they got. Say, who you talking about? What about over in Hosea chapter 1, 2, and 3? One of my favorite passages. You've got a woman, the Bible says, listen, what a difficult circumstance that God looked down at Hosea. He said, go take you a wife of whoredoms. He said, have you children of whoredoms. In other words, listen, she wasn't faithful. And the whole time she wasn't faithful, she was having other men's kids while she was living with this fella. And you think, man, what a terrible circumstance. That boy, I can't think of much worse than that, amen. And do you know old Hosea? And listen, just demonstrating the grace of God and just loving on her. He's done things that I'm not sure that anybody's ever done outside the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you wrap your mind around this, understanding that your wife went out and was cheating on you, and then thinking, she may be hungry, and you go and prepare a meal and lay it down at the footsteps of the door, and just to make sure that her belly's not empty. That's higher than I live, amen. I'll tell you that right now. But old Hosea was right there, and the Bible says that God would put her in the valley of Achor, hedge up her way of thorns, and he might give her a lot of hope. And so my friend, he had to get her in a bad way. And you say, preacher, how did it end? It ended up with her up on that auction block. Oh, listen, they're selling her off as a slave. But out in the midst of the choir, out in the midst of the crowd, that was one that began to bid on her. That one when nobody else wanted her. That one when everybody else had rejected her. That one when everybody else gave up on her. He said, I'll take her. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what he did. He married her. And so he had a covenant. And then he bought her. And thank God, so she was his possession. And no matter how you win, there was no separating from that relationship. Had to get her in that place. Listen, you reckon, now I'm being honest with you, it had to be awful shameful to stand up there with your head bowed down and everybody knowing what you are. But then what about the fella who knowing you the best, being the one who wants you the most? Somebody help me on that. Y'all sleepy this morning. You stand in that place where the person who knows your ins and outs, knows just exactly. They wasn't none of the rest of those men knew just how wicked she was. But old Hosea did. And when they didn't want her no more, old Hosea said, I'll take her. So I've been waiting on this day. I'm telling you, thank God, aren't you glad? Yeah. Hey, was it God in heaven to get you in that place? I thought about, what about that thief on the cross?
Yeah.
Pretty bad day.
Right.
Started off that way. All these people start off one day, depending on where you divide that day. Thief, worst day of my life. Worst day. Y'all listen to me. Just wait till you get there is what I'm saying. Right now it may look bad. Let me remind you, God don't work like we do. It's not, you know how we work? We work daytime to nighttime. That's how I work. That's how you work. It's not how God works. God don't work morning to evening. You know when God works? I know, listen to me. Go back to the book of Genesis. How does God work? It's not morning to evening. Bible says evening and morning. You know what that means? That means that God's working in the nighttime when nobody else is working. When nobody else is seeing, when everybody else is silent, whenever all the work goes unnoticed, and the next thing you read, bam, there's a whole world. You don't think God did that for you? I'm just saying this. Boy, what a day of redemption. This lady right here was a Gentile woman. And you can let me look at me. Everybody look up here at me. Guess how many Gentile women got to hear the gospel that day? In the time of famine, guess how many Gentile widow women got to hear what she heard? Guess how many? Just this one. So how do you know? The Lord Jesus said so. He said, except to the widow of Zarephath, only one. That looks like to me like it must be real important to God to get a hold of somebody who's going through their worst time. That if they'll just get there, just hang on. And what appears to be your worst time is setting up God to be your best time. We find what a day of rest, what a day of relief, what a day of redemption. I want to say this to you. Don't you reckon she rejoiced a little bit on that day? Y'all reckon she was happy about it? Probably wasn't, don't you guess? I'd say she just went and got that barrel of meal, started using that cruise of oil. She wasn't probably happy about it a bit. Her boy over there with his belly full, she probably wasn't happy about none of that. She's probably like a bunch of Baptists. Forgot how good God had been to her. Boy, we sure get over how good God been to us awful quick, don't we? In the middle of this, let me say this, and I'm going to be done. Right in the middle of her coming down to this place of what we call a day of rejoicing. I'm just saying this, right now you can cry all you want to. There'll not be no crying on that other side. Are y'all listening to me? You can sorrow now. You can be in that place, but just wait till you get there. Just wait. Till you get there. You say, preacher, I'm not much interested in suffering. Nobody is. But there's a blessing that goes with suffering. You know what it is? Real plain. I'm going to be done. I'm going to say this. Y'all listen to me. If we suffer with him. That's a pretty good start to a verse. If we suffer with him, also reign with him. Let's stand to our feet. I've cleared my heart. I'm just simply saying this. Just wait till you get there. Maybe you ain't there yet. Maybe you ain't in that place where you're there yet. Just keep on marching. Go gather up your two sticks. Get your handful of meal. Keep getting down to the last drop of oil. But thank God, know this. God's got a plan to get you there. God's got a plan to get you there. Lisa, come, Donnie, whatever you're going to sing.